has so much powerful truth in it, as we've just read. And we're going to go through some of it again. But let me explain to you what inspired this message. You may have seen before that Vicky said, "Praise Yahweh for putting out the fires." Well, actually, right at this point, the fires aren't out yet. But for those of you that don't even know what we're talking about, who aren't on the prayer list, yesterday, a burning fire got out of control to our west, just two plots away from us. And when all was said and done, Tam and I happened to look out and see the fire, and we got out there with some fire hoses, and I mean with some hoses, and called the fire department. And when all was said and done, about an acre of land, a forest behind us, had burned. And so we came back all black and stinky, and yes, at Rodney's, came back all black and stinky, and got our showers, and you know, had Sabbath service, and just enjoyed Mandy's birthday, and relaxed a little bit before Yahweh. And at about 3 o'clock in the morning, we got a phone call. Now, how many know that when the fire department puts out a fire, they don't really put out the fire? They just get it under control and then let it burn itself out for the most part. Especially the woods. I shouldn't say any fire, but the woods. So, yes, everybody's all right. There was no damage done except to the woods. It was contained. There were no animals injured. There were no houses burned. No kind of property damage whatsoever. But we had about 40-mile-an-hour winds yesterday. And so that fire spread pretty quick. Well, the fire department got it under control. There were still some smolders here and there. And about 3 o'clock in the morning, we got a phone call. Did you know that the neighbors is on fire? And so we looked out the window, and sure enough, the sky was bright orange again. So we went out there and began to fight the fire again, and the fire department came out again. Spent most of the night fighting fires. And as we were out there stomping on fires with our feet, using garden hoses to try and put it out, one of my sons had a pickaxe and some shovels and some rakes, and everybody was pitching in, working together, trying to get this fire out. Yahweh put a message on my heart. So I want to talk to you today about putting out fires. Let's title this message, Putting Out Fires. Turn with me, if you would, to James 3, and we're going to read verse 1 through 18.
My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us. We turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, yet they're turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, it boasts great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and of bird and of serpent and of things in the sea is tamed and has been tamed of mankind, but that tongue can no man tame. It's an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith we bless Yahweh, even the Father, and therewith we curse men, which are made after the similitude of Yahweh. Out of that same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Does a fountain send forth at the same place sweet and bitter water? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain yield salt water and fresh. Who's a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show it out of good conversation, his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descends not from above, but it is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that's from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruit, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace.
Hallelujah. Sean, you live in Southern California. What is the number one cause of... Everybody hears about these massive forest fires in California that burn hundreds of thousands of acres every year. What is the number one cause of forest fires out there? Cigarette smoking. Somebody throws a butt out the window. It catches some dry leaves on fire and burns thousands and thousands of acres. How great a matter a little fire kindles. How huge things can get out of control very quickly. Who would think that just burning a couple of pieces of trash could light an entire side of the country on fire? But it happens all the time. But today we're not talking about that kind of fire. Today I want to talk about the kind of fire that we cause with our mouths. You know, there's a lot of analogies. There's a lot of things that bear direct relationship to a fire made with a match and a fire made with our tongue. And I want to talk a little bit about that today. You know, it says that if we don't control our tongue, here in James 3, that in many things we offend. Now, if a man doesn't offend in word, the same's a perfect man. How many want to be a perfect person, walking in truth, walking in perfection? You know, we need to understand something as we get into this message today. Everything is working perfectly the way that it should be working. I'm going to say that again. Everything is working perfectly the way that it should be working. The world is great. You see, in the world there's no strife, there's no problems. These are things that we make in our imagination, in our understanding of what's going on in the world. And when we get a grasp of that, when we get an understanding of that, it will set you free from the thinking that you've had. I know people all the time think everybody's against them. You know, their boss is against them, their friends are against them, their family's against them. When people do something to us, we get all upset about it. How many know that nobody can do anything against you unless you allow them to? Well, my mama got me upset last night. No, she didn't. You got upset. Yeah, but mama said something that got me upset. No, you got upset. You see, you can't place the blame anywhere else, folks. Well, Yahweh allowed this to happen. You can't blame Yahweh. It happened for good, whatever happened. And you need to begin to understand that it's your ego that rationalizes what goes on around you and what happens in order to you know how it does that? It does that according to the rose-colored glasses that you have on, how you've been brought up, what has been planted inside of you by your parents, your grandparents, your world around you, schoolmates, and posters, and billboards, and movies, and TVs, and books, and everything else that you allow into your gates. Those are the things that formulate your opinions. Those are the things that formulate how you think. Those are the things that formulate if you say something is good or bad. We were talking before the message on screen about the internet. And some people will say the internet's a bad thing. Others will say it's a good thing. What has formulated the opinion that we have two diverse opinions? You see? Listen, let me tell you something. The internet is neither good nor bad. The internet just is. Cars are not good or bad. They just are. Houses are not good or bad. They're just houses. And once we get all this thinking to change inside of us that I've got a good house and they got a bad house. I got a good car. He's got a bad car. That's been implanted in you, you see. If it gets you to where it needs to go, it was pretty good for that purpose, wasn't it? If it breaks down, it was pretty good for breaking down, wasn't it? See, but you can't receive that yet. You're just not ready. And what happens is instead of understanding that all these things are working together, we get angry, we get hurt, we get bitter, we get things that inside of our mind, our ego takes over, and then we allow to come out of our mouth something that ought not be. Watch what it says here. If any man offends not in word, the same is a perfect man and able to bridle the entire body. Behold, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey, and we turn about their whole body. Also the ships, which though they're so huge, so great, are driven of fierce winds, yet they're turned about with a very small helm, any way that the captain wants it. Even so, the tongue is a little member, but it can do great things, either good or bad. Has anybody ever seen it's a little 16-minute movie called Validation. If you've never seen it, I highly suggest it's on YouTube. It was made for YouTube. It is an incredible movie about speaking to other people things that will bless, that will uplift them, that will bring them. It's called Validation. V-A-L-I-D-A-T-I-O-N. And you can go out on YouTube and watch it. Not right now, after the message is over. And it's just a movie that will show you exactly what I'm speaking about here, that the tongue can be used for good. See, people often say the tongue's unruly, it's evil, it's full of poison. But no, that's not even truth. You know, when James wrote this, he wanted to get a message across. But the truth is not, the tongue is not good or bad. The tongue just is. It's a part of your body. It's not a good thing or a bad thing, but how your ego uses your tongue, how your spirit man uses your tongue, makes it good or evil. It's not the rudder on a ship that turns the ship, it's the captain of the ship using the rudder. And if he turns it the wrong way, he can make that ship run into the rocks. Or if he turns it the right way, he can run right through the rocks without hitting any sandbars or any problems. Your tongue is a little member, but it has great power in how you use it, folks. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindles. Now, I bet you that nobody here, because we're all so righteous, has ever said anything that's kindled a fire with their tongue. You've never said anything that you're sorry for. You've never said anything that you really wish you hadn't said, right? No, I'm sure everybody has. Maybe I'm the only one. Doesn't matter. Truth is, if you search your heart, you'll probably somewhere way back when find something that you said that you wish you hadn't said. You know, when you speak that word, when you light the fire, the damage has been done. When you let something come out of your mouth, you've already caused injury to the party that you've spoken to. Do we need to do that in our lives? Every time that we speak something that doesn't bless another person, it comes from our ego. It comes from our mind. We've all been guilty. We've all done it. We've allowed things to come out of our mouth that just aren't truth. And because of that, we've kindled or we've set this fire aflame. Just like the woods behind our home right now, they're still burning. If we look out there right now, we'll see smoke. Now, they're not active flames shooting up into the sky, but there are coals. There are embers. There's smoke from grasses and hay that's still burning out there. And the wildlife or the conservation department came down and he said, well, it's going to take 2 or 3 days till it burns itself out. It's just the way that it is. But you know what? When you say a word that's negative, when you say something to someone, it doesn't just dissipate in 2 or 3 days. In fact, that goes into their spirit. That goes into their very heart. And it can literally, with enough force, with enough people speaking these negative things to people, can literally cause them to self-destruct. Now, let me say something. Just like no one else can hurt you with their words, you can't really hurt anybody with your words. They allow you to hurt them. But in effect, if you had said something as a blessing, then it would have blessed them instead of hurt them, wouldn't it have? So in essence, we can't blame it on anybody else, but we need to be aware that we can take a stance. We can take a position not to allow these fires to kindle out of our lips. There's an ancient proverb where a man had spoken against another man. And he went to him after many years and apologized and said, I need to clear my mind. He said, I did very wrong to you. I hurt you. I ruined your reputation. I spoke evil against you behind your back and to your face. I put you down and I said things that just weren't true, and I ask you to forgive me. And the wise man said, I forgive you. But I want you to do me a favor. He said, I want you to take this pillow stuffed with goose feathers, and I want you to go up to the top of the mountain, and I want you to take that pillow and cut it open and shake the feathers all around. And the man did so. And he came back. And he said, is there anything else? He said, yes, now I want you to go back and gather those feathers. And he said, it's impossible. You know the same truth. You can speak things. You can go back and say, and many of us have the mentality, well, if I speak something wrong, I just go back and say, I'm sorry, and make it all better. Well, you can go back and you can say you're sorry, but that won't necessarily make everything better because you've already left the wound. Out in the bush, many times me and my sons will be out there, my wife, with axes or knives or different tools, and we'll slip. We'll do something without thinking. That's how our tongue works a lot of times, isn't it? Without us thinking. And we make the wrong move, bang, slip. And we'll have a cut. How many know the cut heals? But the scar never goes away. Many times we sit at the table kind of laughing, comparing scars and telling war stories where we got these scars. But when we set a fire with our tongues, those scars aren't necessarily the cause of bragging and boasting. Those have hurt other people. The tongue is a fire, James said, a world of iniquity. And it can defile the whole body and sets on fire the whole course of nature and is set on fire of hell. It says that every man has every beast, every bird, every serpent, everything in the sea can be tamed and is tamed of mankind, but the tongue no man can tame. Now, James might have said here, the natural man can't contain. Might have been better or tame. Because our spirit man certainly has rule. And if we allow our spirit man to have rule. See, if we jump down here and we look at verse 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show off a good conversation, his works with meekness and wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not, don't lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envy and strife is, there's confusion and evil work. But if we will walk according to the wisdom that is first pure and peaceable and gentle and easy to be entreated, filled with mercy and good fruits without partiality and hypocrisy, then that's operating from the spirit man. And then our tongue can be used for good purposes. Let me tell you today, you can control that fire. You have the power in you as beings formed in the image of Yahweh, made in His likeness, part of Him, to honor Him with your lips, to do those things which are right. Over in Proverbs 18, verse 21, it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. I love this verse, one of my favorite memory verses. But you know, one of the things that I always see when I read this verse is that death is listed first. You know, we found out over in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1 that there is a contradistinction between the flesh realm and the spirit realm. And if we walk in the Spirit, it says in verse 4 and 5 of Romans 8, then we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. You can't walk in the flesh and do the things of the Spirit, and you can't walk in the Spirit and do the things of the flesh. We've got to be understanding whether we're operating out of the Spirit or whether we're operating out of the ego. If we operate out of the ego, out of the flesh, out of the natural man, we bring death into the situation. If we operate out of the spirit, we bring life into the situation. So death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. What fruit are you bringing forth? What is it that your tongue has done? Let me tell you something else while we're talking about this. Our tongues always start a fire every time. Our tongue you could think of as a spiritual match or a spiritual lighter. Every time you strike it, a flame starts. Fire is not always bad. How many know that? You can use a fire to heat with. You can use a fire to cook with. You can use a fire to purify your water. You can use a fire to purify wounds. You can use a fire to make other tools. Fire is not always bad. So every time that you speak, you kindle a fire. But is the fire that you're kindling for good? Or is the fire that you're kindling for destruction? You see, when you speak good things to people, that builds people up. When you validate people, when you encourage people, when you give people hope through the words that you speak to them, well, you've just set on fire in that person's life. A good fire. A fire that's beneficial. And those words will also continue. Because words never fall on deaf ears. We're laughing before about if a tree fell in the forest, would you still be able to hear it? when you speak a word, it goes into the universe and always continues for eternity. The scripture tells us that every thought, every word that we've ever spoken is recorded. Think about that. Now, there's no condemnation in that because, you know, it's the way it is. It's not good or bad, it just is. And what we need to do is say, you know what? I don't want that to continue any longer in my life. I don't want death coming out of my tongue any longer. I want to use this as an instrument of peace, as an instrument of blessing, as an instrument that will help others, as an instrument that will encourage others, not to bring death into situations. Proverbs 13 tells us that if we will learn to keep our mouth, we'll keep our lives. But if we open wide our lips, we'll have destruction. Again, just another way to say, if you control it, you have life. You bring life. If it controls you, you bring death. Too often, we're satisfied with just getting by, doing the least that's necessary. But is that really the way that we emulate Yahweh? Is that really the way that we become the best that we can be? Of course not. A person that does just enough to get by is no more than a mediocre person. You might call him a C-minus student. And it doesn't have anything to do with, oh, well, they won't get as many rewards in heaven or this or that. It has to do with the quality of life that you live right now. It has to do with the blessings and the things that come back upon you, because whatever you reap, whatever you've sown, you'll reap. Whatever you've put out will return to you and manyfold. That's good or bad. You see? Because as we speak things, guess what? How does faith come? Comes by hearing, and hearing by words. You know, when we hear Yahweh's word, that builds faith toward Yahweh in our lives. But when we hear words of death, guess what that builds inside of us? Builds death. That's why people get so scared. They hear over and over, the flu's coming. Got to get your flu shots. Got to do this. Got to do that. Or you're going to get sick. If you get sick, you might die. Blah, 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 blah. And you're bombarded with these thoughts. Until sooner or later you say, you know what? Flu's coming around this year. I'm probably going to get it. And you know what happens? You get it. Because you have brought it into existence. The flu isn't good or bad. The flu just is. But what your mind did was bring it into existence in your life. It's how you accept the things going on around you as to what effect these things have in your life. Proverbs 18 told us earlier when we read it that the words of a man's mouth are like deep water, and the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. It's not good to accept the person of the wicked, to overthrow the righteous in judgment. A fool's lips, or fleshly lips, or lips of the ego, enter into contention, and his mouth calls for strokes. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. Are you setting snares that are catching you? You don't think it matters because you just say it to a loved one who would never repeat it to anybody else. You know, talk a little bit about your neighbor or your friends or your boss or your whatever. Play one person against another person. How many people know that really goes on? Somebody goes up and plays somebody against somebody else with their words. Those things don't bring destruction to that person. In fact, let me let you know a secret. If you talk bad about me, it doesn't even affect me because I don't know it. Only what I allow to affect me can affect me, and since I don't even know you're talking bad about me, it can't affect me. But it affects you. It changes who you are. It builds negativity in you, and that's why it says here that a fool's mouth is his destruction. You see, your mouth is not my destruction. You can't destroy me with your lips. Well, I can ruin your reputation. My reputation is nothing. We've often talked about this. Our reputation is what man thinks about us. How many know that no matter how much good you do, no matter how many positive things you say, somebody won't like you? Is that right? So there's somewhere in life, somebody just isn't going to like you. What should that matter? It's character that matters. Reputation is what man thinks about you. Character is what you really are. You see, many people hated Yahshua when he walked on this earth. They thought that he was a wicked man. They thought that he was trying to usurp this righteousness of being Yahweh's son. And all these different things. And they scorned him and mocked him and killed him. Aren't you glad that was part of the plan? Do you think that if Yahshua walked the way many of us walk, that he would have said something like, I don't know why I'm going through all this, deliver me. Poor me. Huh? But he understood. It's all part of the bigger plan. Everything, even that death, was perfect. It was all part. You see? Now, looking back, it's easy for us to see it was part of the plan. But it may not have been so easy for him with his... How many know that Yahshua had an ego, and it fought against him every step of the way? We're told that he was tempted in every area as we are, yet without sin. But that still screamed out, didn't it? It still affected him. It still tried to formulate his thoughts and his opinion. He just wouldn't allow it. He operated after the spirit man totally, 100%. Do you see a difference? Well, we can look at it. But when he was there, he could have easily cried out, I don't know why I have to go through this. In fact, you can actually see the dichotomy between his spirit man and his ego man in the Garden of Gethsemane. We said, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. It's not wrong to have an ego. There's a reason and a purpose. It's wrong if we allow the ego to control us instead of allowing our spirit man to control us. If we speak these words that destroy, that tear down, that bring contention, we're not hurting the person that we spoke evil to. We're hurting ourselves. Now, if that person allows that to go into them and accepts it and receives it, then they've been hurt. And we have been the catalyst in that. That's a bad thing, isn't it? Ecclesiastes 10:11 through 14 says, surely the serpent will bite without enchantment, and a babbler's no better. The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool will swallow himself up. The beginning of words of his mouth is foolishness, and the end of his talk is mischievous madness. A fool also is full of words. A man cannot tell what shall be, and what shall be after him, who can tell? A couple things that Solomon is saying here, of course, relates right to this understanding of foolish talk and a fool opening their mouth and allowing this fire to go forth that can never be contained again. But more than that, he says something here. Watch this. A fool is full of words. You want to stop sinning with your mouth? Don't speak. Well, that's how we communicate. Well, let me ask you a question. Let's say that 10% of your communication is good, beneficial, positive. You're validating others. You're blessing others. You're encouraging others. You're uplifting others. And 90% is bad. Then only speak 10% of the time. Well, not me. I'm at least 50-50. Well, then only speak 50% of the time.
No, not wholly me. I'm positive 90% of the time.
Well, then stop speaking 10% of the time. You know, 10% of the time is 2.5 hours per day. Even if you're only 10% wrong, if you could just close your mouth for 2.5% of the day, or 2.5 hours of the day, 10%, you would be perfect. Wow. That's what you said you wanted to be. It was perfect. And if you can tame your tongue, you'll be a perfect man in every way, the scripture tells us. The fool is filled with words. Let me show you something else that Solomon says here while we're there. The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious. How many know what that word gracious means? Anybody? It means filled with grace. Do you know what grace is? Grace and mercy are opposite sides of the same coin. Grace literally means blessings upon others. Or in words that Yahweh showed me a few years ago, grace is giving others what they don't deserve. Mercy is not giving others what they do deserve. Like someone comes up and hits me on the left cheek. If I don't hit them back, I've shown them mercy. What the scripture says, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. Well, you do what you want to do. But if you're gracious, you wouldn't return the evil for the evil. Mercy is giving others, or not giving others what they deserve. Grace is giving others what they don't deserve. Oh, brings a memory, the words of the master. You know, if your neighbor asks of you to walk 1 mile, go with him too. If he wants your coat, give him your cloak also. You see? Do we just do enough not to say bad things about somebody? Or ought we even bless our enemies? What if we went out of our way to say positive, uplifting, good things about the people that we really don't like very much? Do you think it would be possible that we could change circumstances? At the very least, you'd change your own heart about the circumstance, because whatever you speak, you're going to begin to believe. It's going to build faith inside of you. Proverbs 10 tells us, in the multitude of words, there does not want sin. And we go back to this understanding of, you know, maybe we speak a little too often. But he that refrains his lips is wise. How many want to be a wise man? The tongue of the just is of choice silver. The heart of the wicked is of little worth. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for a want of wisdom. Folks, we need to begin to understand the power that this little member inside of us has. We need to understand that it can never be put out. And a lot of people will look at that and think of it with the negative attitude. You know, once I say something bad to somebody, that fire can never be put out. But the same thing happens if we say something positive. If we say something positive to someone, that fire can never be put out either. Can you imagine what a different world we live in today? If instead of whatever it was that was said, whatever it was that was the controlling factor, instead of being negative in Adolf Hitler's life, was positive? Think about it. Or what about if you took Mother Teresa and had instilled all negatives into her? The world would be so different. But each one had their place. But each one was built with the words, the thoughts that were implanted into them. I'm sure that Hitler had people around him all the time reassuring him that he could control the world, that things were going to be beneficial. And I don't even believe that he thought that he was doing something wrong, rather that he could help somehow in his misguided, twisted way. You see, but those things were put there. What is it that we're going to put out with our lips? The fire will never go out, folks. The fire will never be quenched. So you need to decide whether you're going to put it forth good fires, uplifting fires, beneficial fires, or are you going to put fires out that destroy? And again, that destruction begins with you. What you say destroys you far before it will ever destroy the other person. The Master in Matthew 12, speaking to the Pharisees and Sadducees, said, you are a generation of vipers. How can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say unto you, every idle word, that word idle there means useless, non-beneficial, words that aren't blessings and encouragement. Every idle word you will give account of in the day of judgment. Where does judgment begin? Inside you. For by your words you're justified, and by your words you're condemned. Now again, this isn't a message of condemnation. This is actually a message of encouragement, because the Master showed us a deeper truth in here. He showed us that a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good fruit. James did not say that evil blessings and bad blessings cannot come out of the same mouth. He didn't say it couldn't happen. What he said was it ought not to happen. And he's right. You see, you've got that spirit man inside. You've got that ego man inside. Which one you allow to control is the way that you're going to think. And out of those thoughts are the words that you're going to speak. So it goes even a little deeper than just the words that come out of our mouth. It's what do we allow our minds to think? What do we allow input to come in? Do we think evil about somebody? If you think evil about somebody, you know what's going to happen? You're going to speak evil about that person. So stop and understand what you are doing, and begin to allow your heart to bless those.
But they're my enemy. You don't know what they've done to me. You don't know how they've hurt me. You don't know how they've
mangled my life. I don't care how they mangled your life or hurt you. They can't hurt you unless you allow them to hurt you. You can just keep going. You can move on. You can rejoice in everything. Well, that's a scripture. Do y'all know that? In everything you could give thanks. You don't have to allow it to destroy you. You choose to allow it to destroy you. Because you want your fur pet, you know. You want somebody to come stroke you. Oh, feel bad for me, wife, please. Oh, it's okay, baby. Ego. You know what ego means? Somebody put an acronym to it. And I say it just like they said it because it only fits that way. Edging God out. That spirit man inside you is Yahweh. We could say EO. Whatever it is that pushes Yahweh out, that whatever stops our spirit man from operating inside of us, we need to squelch that. Get rid of it. That's why we're told in Ephesians 4, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. You have a choice whether it comes out or not. You could shut your mouth. I've done it many times. I have shut my mouth and not said a thing, and it keeps coming at me. It keeps coming at me until I open my mouth and say it. Y'all know what I'm saying, right? Huh? You don't want to say it. You don't want to say it. You know you shouldn't say it. Boom, you say it. Now you're sorry. Don't allow this evil communication to come out of your mouth. But that which is good to the use of edification. What's edification, guys? To build up other people. To bless other people. To encourage other people. To honor other people. But they're my enemies. Yeah, this is what Scripture says. Bless those that persecute you. Bless your enemies. But I was just joking around. He's my friend. Well, he might not have thought it was a joke. Oh, I mean, how would you like it if every time your friend met you, you said, hey, egghead! You wouldn't feel so good about that after about 300th time. You might not feel so good after it about the third time if you got your best girl on your arm. Or if you said it in front of your boss. Hey, nimwit. Oh, I was just joking, he's my friend. Maybe he didn't take it that way. Don't allow corrupt communication to come forth out of your mouth. But that which edifies, that ministers grace, there's that word again, grace, that which they don't deserve, you give to them. And don't grieve the set-apart spirit of Yahweh whereby you're sealed. You know, when we speak communication that's evil, communication that's wicked, allow these tongues to set fires that destroy, we have grieved the spirit inside of us. It's exactly what I've been saying to you the whole message here. Colossians 4 tells us, let our speech always be seasoned with grace. There's that word again. Seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer every man. Folks, I hope this message has in some way encouraged you. Not men's condemnation, but to get us to think what we're doing, the fires that we're setting. Is always negative coming out of our mouth? Is always evil coming out of our mouth? Let our prayer be that which the psalmist said in Psalm 141, set a watch, O Yahweh, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Now, don't blame it on Yahweh if you say that prayer and then say something bad. It was still your fault because you weren't walking in the Spirit. See, you got out of that. You got out of the covering of that prayer. Listen, if any man among you seems to be righteous but doesn't bridle his own tongue, that man's deceived himself. His religion is vain. worthless. Let's make it our point today to start allowing words of blessing, words of joy, words of peace, words of encouragement to come out of our mouths to everybody around us, no matter where we are, no matter where we go, no matter what we're doing. All right.